The PFL is live from Chicago, April 19th, with welterweights and featherweights taking center stage. In the main event, former Bellator welterweight champion Andrei Kereshkov takes on knockout artist Magomed Umalatov. And 2022 PFL world champion Brendan Loughnane looks to start his 2024 off with the bang versus submission specialist Pedro Carvalho. Don't miss the action. Friday, April 19th, live at 10 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN and ESPN+.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Mixed martial arts. Mixed martial arts. MMA stands for mixed martial arts. Yeah!
It does. It does indeed. Mixed martial arts just continues on. Events all the time. UFC back again. Tomorrow, UFC Vegas 43, and then they're off for Thanksgiving break. Main event tomorrow, Miesha Tate versus Ketlin Vieira. Some really interesting fights on this card, and we'll talk all about it right here on the live UFC Vegas 43 preview show here on MMAfighting.com. Apologies for the delay, a couple of technical difficulties, but we are here, and we are scheduled to be joined by a very special guest later on as well, so stay tuned for that. I am Mike Heck, E. Casey Lydon on the ones and twos. Got the Houston tee on.
Yeah.
Houston Muay Thai, is that what it is?
Yeah, Houston Muay Thai. Nice. It was a gift from, I forgot his last name, but Bob, the striking coach for Derek Lewis. You've seen Bob, the
Perez?
And Bob Perez, that's it, yeah. So he gifted me this a while back. So I was like, oh. And when he gave it to me, he was like, oh, this is pretty small. So I had to slim down. So now it fits all snug now. I like it.
There you go. So we are scheduled to be joined in a matter of moments, I believe, probably in the next 5 or so minutes by Andrea KGB Lee, coming off her big win over Cynthia Calvillo. Just a ferocious performance, second consecutive finish for her. So she will join us to talk about that victory, what could be next, and we'll have her break down the main event between Miesha Tate and Ketlin Vieira, and then even a big fight in her division between Joanne Wood and Tyler Santos as well. So we'll get to the main event in a little bit. I know that's the marquee, but before Andrea gets here, let's talk about the co-main event, because this is a very interesting fight. This is a fight a lot of people are excited about. Michael Chiesa looking to get back on track after the loss to Vicente Luque. And he's got a tall order in front of him in the undefeated Sean Brady, who is 14-0. He's been waiting for this step up in competition, waiting for a top 15 guy, waiting for a big opportunity. He was scheduled to fight Kevin Lee. He had to fall out of that fight, withdraw, because he had a nasty staph infection, dealing with some just nasty stuff. You guys saw the photos if you checked it out on the website, but D-Rod stepped in for that. Now Sean Brady gets Michael Chiesa in a big spot here. So your thoughts on this matchup, man. This is the classic UFC vet versus the guy looking to make that next step.
First of all, I absolutely love this matchup. I loved Sean Brady versus Kevin Lee. I love this matchup just even more, maybe, actually. This is a big fight for both of them. For Michael Chiesa, to me, for Michael Chiesa especially, I want to say Michael Chiesa is a future title contender, and losing to Luque, that's fine. You lost to another great fighter. I thought Michael Chiesa was that guy that can fight for the title after he beat Neil Magny, and Neil Magny's kind of that, like, I'm a gatekeeper to kind of like that top five area. Chiesa's not there yet, so they put him against someone like Sean Brady, and Sean Brady so far looks amazing, and it's a bit of a mystery how much he's going to be with the injury that's going to affect him or not. But I'm going to go ahead and assume this is the best Sean Brady we've ever seen. So this is just a super exciting fight. I love it. I really like this. This is what co-main events for Fight Night should be. Just an excellent, and it's just a great matchup with a lot of high stakes. Not necessarily the guys fighting for the title next, but whoever wins this fight, especially if Brady looks good, we're going to be going, oh, crap, man. You know, watch out, Usman, in a couple years. You know, you got Sean Brady on your tail.
What's always interesting about Michael Chiesa in general is every time you never understand how big he is until he, like, does the face-offs after the weigh-ins. Because Brady's a big guy. Brady's a big welterweight. And Chiesa's bigger than him. Like, even, like, the height-wise, it's easy to see how much bigger Michael Chiesa is than Sean Brady. It's always shocking. And then you think about, like, two and a half years ago, Michael Chiesa was fighting at 155 pounds. It's just insane. How that man weighed 155, how he makes 170 is insane. But him making 155 is unbelievable. This is a really good fight. I like the matchmaking here a lot. Kudos to Chiesa because he's in a position where he could easily have just said, nah, I'm not going to fight an up-and-comer. I'll wait for somebody a little bit bigger. He could have even thrown his name into the Chimaev sweepstakes. That's obviously a bigger fight, but he's here fighting a guy like Sean Brady, so I think he gets a lot of credit here. What are your thoughts on the actual – yeah, go ahead.
Thank you for mentioning that. I kind of totally forgot about that. Even Chiesa taking fights like this, being a matchmaker at the high level sucks, honestly, because I get it. Chiesa, like I said before – oh, Sean Brady looks great, man. He's going to be fighting for the title in a couple years. If Chiesa looks great and defeats Sean Brady, we're going to be – Chiesa's kind of just, okay, well, you're still a good welterweight, but are you good enough to beat Usman? We don't – nothing's going to happen tomorrow night that's going to kind of give us that impression. But that's why fans like Michael Chiesa. He's taking a big risk going out there fighting a prospect with – just doesn't have the name value yet. And us nerds, MMA nerds, we know Sean Brady is. We're excited about it. But for the most part, of course, no one knows who Sean Brady is. So, I just want to give a special lot of kudos to Michael Chiesa for taking a chance and fighting a really hungry up-and-comer.
Yeah, Chiesa is just such a – one of the good – these are two very good guys. Like, very good dudes in the sport, very nice, very – giving with their time, just good solid dudes. And you saw at the face off they were very friendly, laughs and smiles and goofing around, and that's what the sport's all about. Right now, Casey, -165 for Sean Brady, the favorite. Ooh. +145 comeback on Michael Chiesa. Are you surprised by this, or do you think this is lined correctly?
Hype sells. So yeah, he has a lot of hype on him right now. So I get it. I get it. I haven't made my pick yet, but if you tell me you think Sean Brady's going to win, I'm not going to go, you're crazy. So yeah, that's fine line. That makes sense. And you know, you're only as good as your last fight. And for, you know, Chiesa, unfortunately it was Luque, but we have a guest. She's here. Should we bring her in?
She's here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we should.
All right. Here, let's bring her in.
Production 101. Andrea Lee is joining us. How are you?
Can you not
Jeep.
I'm still having trouble hearing you guys.
Oh, can you hear you?
It still sounds kind of robotic a little bit for whatever reason.
All right, Mike, you maybe can you...
How about any better?
Still staticky.
Staticky.
What is this?
You sound beauty great. Of
tremendous. Perfect.
Really?
Beauty of live streaming.
Yeah, we hear you perfectly.
There you go. Yes.
Everything's coming through now?
You can hear us now?
I can hear you now.
All right, we're good. It's yes. Cross our fingers.
Thank goodness. Yeah. All right. It's like it always does this. I don't know why. Sorry, my hair is messed. Do this.
No, you just got to make from training. That's why you got your jiu-jitsu training hair. That's great. I like it.
I'm still trying to take my braids down. I still have some trouble getting it out.
How long does it take to take those braids out? Like, does it hurt your scalp? I talked to a lot of female fighters. They said it just afterwards, like their scalp is just like in pain after kind of the tight braids.
Well, I always try to do as simple as I can, but I allowed her to add some little tiny braids in here, and those did hurt, but it loosened up. I've been sleeping in them for, you know, watching since the fight anyway, since Friday. But they are a little uncomfortable, and I'm ready to get them out, but it's just all tangly. And I look like a poodle right now. Like, pulled it
the
back.
The life of a fighter.
Poodle.
Well, thank you for joining us, Andrea. Much appreciated. Congratulations on the victory over Cynthia Calvillo. How does it all feel? 6 days after the fact, we're here celebrating victory. You're back in the gym, getting the hair unbraided still at this point. So how does it all feel 6 days later?
It feels great. I'm really satisfied with my performance. I'm satisfied with the win. And, you know, fighting Cynthia was, you know, it was an honor. And I really like Cynthia. And I think she's an incredible fighter. But I'm very happy that I walked away with my hand raised.
Yeah, and we kind of noticed it. We spoke after the Shevchenko fight. You just felt in such a great place heading into that fight. You felt like you're in the best place physically, mentally, a lot of things you've been through in the past, further and further behind you. And I feel like that continues to be pushed further and further behind you. It's making you a lot more free in there. You seem like you're having a lot more fun in there. Did you feel even better this time around heading into this fight compared to the Shevchenko fight?
I did. I feel like it's like I'm continually like progressing, and I feel like I'm transcending and becoming myself, my old self again. And I'm just feeling more and more confident. And I feel that going into these fights, and you know, it's a good feeling. I'm not feeling as doubtful anymore as I was in the last couple fights.
Well, you know, we all, go ahead, Casey.
Oh, I'm sorry. This is a little backstory. You've seen lots. I know you've met lots of people, Andrew, but I was actually at your first Invicta fight in Iowa. Shannon Sen, or I think, yeah. So I was at your first couple of Invicta fights. So I've been a fan, and I'm very excited to see you just move up the ranks. Like I said, like I've talked to lots of people about, you know, the early, especially early Invicta, and I like there were certain women that when you saw a fight, I was like, ooh, that lady's gonna be a star. And I will say, I'm not trying to kiss your butt or anything, but saying when I saw you fight, I'm like, okay, this lady, she's good. She's good. So it's very exciting. And I thought your performance against Cynthia 2 weeks ago now, 2 weeks, 1 week, 1 week ago.
Last Saturday.
Last Saturday. Okay, they all blend together now. Sorry. Yeah, it was a fantastic performance. So it's super exciting to see kind of you just feel good about yourself and get back on your winning ways. Because I thought that was the Andrew Lee that I saw when you first kind of showed up in Invicta. So congrats.
Yeah. Hey, that's the point, and that's who I'm trying to get back to. You know, just trying to finish fights, you know, start aggressively and put a show on for everyone, but I'm really looking to finishing the fights instead of just winning the fight.
I know you've been searching for those finishes for a while. Every time we speak before a UFC fight, you're like, I want that first finish. I want that first finish. And now you got a couple in a row here. It's got to feel pretty good now, like a more familiar feeling, right?
Exactly. And, you know, I want to keep that, you know, I want to keep that going. If you notice, it's like I won three UFC fights by decision in a row. Then I lost three in a row. And now I have two finishes in a row. So I'm going to try to keep that going.
There you go. Of course, a lot of talk about how the fight ended, because it ended in the corner and Cynthia and her team decided that enough was enough. And it turns out that she broke her orbital in the first round. She showed some photos on Instagram, just nasty. And it's funny how this sport works sometimes, Andrea, because I think a lot of us, everybody in here, in these windows right here, are all in agreement, like, good call. It's good when the coaches make that decision and the fighter has the wherewithal to make that decision. And of course, there's other fans out there feel like, you know, it's gutless. There's no heart there. You're scared, all that stuff. You're quitter, all that stuff. It's just absolutely ridiculous. So have you talked to Cynthia at all? Like even just like an Instagram DM, anything like that? And what are your thoughts on the reaction to how the fight ended on Saturday?
No, I haven't talked to Cynthia yet. I'm wanting to. I saw her post and I wanted to comment, but then I thought, I don't know if I should. I don't know if that would be appropriate or not, because I do care about Cynthia and I want to, you know, I want to wish her the best and I want to say something, but I'm trying to, I guess, find the right words. I don't want to like send something that sounds cliche, you know? But now the second question you said, what was it about the fight?
Just the reaction to, the reaction to people had for Cynthia. Cause a lot of, like, all three of us are like, cool. That was cool. It's nice in the sport once in a while when the fighter and the coaches had the wherewithal to make a decision saying like, enough's enough, no mas, we're done. And then other people are like, no, they're quitting. Like, you're a quitter and all that stuff. It's just kind of ridiculous. So just kind of your overall thoughts on how it ended and the reaction to it.
Yeah. Honestly, I think that her coaches and I think herself, you know, they made the right decision, especially like your body talks to you and you need to listen to it. A lot of people are just stubborn and they don't listen to their bodies and they end up getting more injured and, you know, that you're facing more issues down the road. For her, she knew that her head was hurting. I remember the ref came over, he said, her head's hurting. You know, she knew something was wrong. And to continue to fight, you're just going to make it worse. And then that also means you're going to be out of the fight much longer than you would need to be. As far as fans talking about her being a quitter, those are people that would never even step foot in the cage. They would never even give it a chance, you know? So they don't know what it's like to be inside that octagon. And I think that she made the right decision for herself, for her help. And, you know, I'm glad that she did, you know, not because I needed to get my hand raised, but because, you know, it's for her help. I mean, you know, it was a smart decision.
Yes. Well said. But before we start talking about some of the things that are going down tomorrow, I do want to ask you this. I already know how I present it, how you're going to answer it. If I say like, what do you want next? You're going to say somebody in the top five, whoever the UFC wants to give me, you're a company gal, as you should be. But I'm going to throw this out there because luckily I'm in a position where I see how the fans are thinking, because we host a matchmaking show on the site the day after these events. You are obviously a very popular pick from the listeners, and overwhelmingly, Andrea, the fight people want to see for you is a rematch with Lauren Murphy. Not a lot of closure there. People thought it was a very controversial decision in terms of the judging in Houston. Left a sour taste in a lot of people's mouth. People always go back and think about that fight, but everyone feels like her coming off the loss to Valentina, you coming off the streak, now is the time to run this thing back and let's get some closure on that. What are your thoughts on maybe running it back with Lauren Murphy? Is that something that kind of sticks out to you, that makes sense to you right now?
I think it would be great. I really don't have a problem with that. I don't know if that's something that, you know, the UFC or the matchmakers, you know, want, but I'm more than open, you know, for that. I think that would be great. You know, of course I want to go back and get a rematch and redeem myself, you know, who doesn't? So if that was something that presented itself, yeah, I would take it. And I really like Lauren Murphy a lot. I you know, had a lot of fun in our last fight. I think that it would be great to do it again.
I like it. And then last thing I do, one of the things that, like, when you were winning three in a row and you fought Joanne Calderwood, who's actually fighting tomorrow, every question was about the title, Valentina, the title, the title, the title. And you admitted that it was a little bit of extra pressure on you, that all the title talk, it kind of got to you a little bit. Now you're getting it again. Two finishes in a row. Valentina's kind of running out of opponents at this point. We're almost at that point again. Are you prepared for all the title questions? Are you prepared to, do you feel like you'll handle it a lot different this time around?
I think I'll handle it a lot better this time around. I think I was not focusing on the task at hand when they were asking me all those questions, because I was allowing it to get me all, I guess, nervous, you know, or razzled or whatever. And I let it kind of affect me a little bit, you know. I let the pressure of all of that like affect me. I think this time around I can handle it a lot differently.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like you're in a rush. You're having fun, you're winning. The road to the title is almost as fun as winning the title in some people's eyes. So speaking of a fighter who's very close to a title, Miesha Tate, who has come back, could be in line for a title shot if she beats Caitlin Vieira in the main event tomorrow. Very interesting fight. She's coming back after the long layoff, the win over Marion Renault. Caitlin Vieira is a very tough out for anybody. So your thoughts on Misha's return, her performance against Renaud, and just your thoughts on the fight tomorrow, Andrea?
You know, Misha Tate's looking really good. Her body, everything is so hard, and you know, her wrestling is really good. I do feel like her striking's not as great as her wrestling, but she's just a really, really tough fighter, you know, and she's well-rounded. So it's hard to say. I think she still has her hands full, though, with this upcoming opponent.
I do. I agree with you on that. Casey, your thoughts? I mean, here's my just quick ready here synopsis, all right, for in layman's terms. If this fight was three rounds and someone gave me $20 and said, who are you putting the $20 on? I would put on Caitlin Vieira. However, the fact that this is five rounds makes this fight a lot more interesting because Misha Tate is a grinder. She's a workhorse. And I think she thrives in situations like this, especially when she's on her A game, which it seems to be in that position, Casey. So do you think the five rounds favors Misha Tate here a lot more than it favors Caitlin Vieira? What are your thoughts overall on the matchup and in this piece of business that's going to close the show tomorrow?
Yeah, I pretty much agree with what you said, Mike. Vieira's, she's kind of a bit of an anomaly to me in the sense that I know she's a good fighter. I believe she's a top 10 bantamweight, but like, I just kind of don't remember her fights. It's unfortunate. She kind of fights in a way that doesn't inspire me as a fan, but I know she's good. But Misha Tate has something different. There's something that when Misha Tate fights, she fights with so much emotion and just energy. You just want to watch her fight. And I think these five round main event fights for Misha is just a perfect place for just that grittiness that Misha Tate has. And I believe that, I think with her new, I mean, she seems to be just physically just in great shape, mentally in a great place. And I really think that this is just a really good fight for Misha to take right now against a very high ranked opponent. And I think five rounds in the small cage. And her superior MMA wrestling, I think, will lead her to victory. I think it's going to be a close fight. I don't think it's going to be necessarily like a barn burner fight. But for Misha, I think she has the skill set and experience to definitely win a strong unanimous decision.
Sort of the devil's advocate side, Andrea, and I want to get your thoughts on this. I feel like Caitlin Vieira has very little pressure on her, if any. I feel like all the pressure's on Misha Tate here. She's talking about the belt. She's talking about Amanda Nunes. Misha's kind of putting all this pressure on herself. And maybe that's what she wants, right? She wants to put that pressure on herself. But for Caitlin Vieira, she's kind of cruising into this fight. Not a lot of people are talking about her. She's the favorite, but a lot of people view her as the underdog because she's not as big of a name as Misha. So I feel like she has like very little pressure on her. She's playing with house money here heading into tomorrow. Do you agree with that? Do you feel like all the pressure's on Misha here and not a ton on Vieira and that could benefit her?
I think most definitely. And could you tell me who Vieira fought last?
Yana Kunitskaya.
She had she lost by decision. Do you remember the fight in particular, Mike? Was it kind of just a fight, I guess? The Yana. Well,
Caitlin won the first round, Yana won the last two, if memory serves it correctly. Okay. She beat Sajara. And then before that, she had beat Ashley Evans-Smith. She beat Sarah McMahon. She beat Kat Zingano. But then the Irene Aldana knockout, when she got knocked out by Irene Aldana, that was the one turned everything around.
I remember that. I definitely agree with that about, you know, Misha Tate having to bear all of the pressure. Because, I mean, she has come back. You know, she's had one fight so far. Mm-hmm. She took, 3 years off? How many years?
A good amount.
Almost five, it was a while.
It was a good amount. And then her first return, I mean, the fight against Marianne, I mean, I wasn't super impressed. You know, I mean, she came back and she won, and she looked all right. But I wasn't super impressed, but that's also, you know, a little bit of ring rust, you know, and shaking off cobwebs. I think definitely all the pressure is on Misha Tate. And the other one, and Vieira is flying on the radar. But I do think that Misha Tate can win this. Like you said, I think that she could win a decision over that, or she could submit Vieira.
Yeah, it's an interesting fight. Obviously, a lot on the line here. Casey, official pick, who wins?
Misha Tate, 4-1.
I'll go Tate 3-2, but I have to say I'm not overly confident here.
I'm being very positive on Misha Tate. I feel like her, because they're so long ago, her last two losses before she retired, I think it was to Raquel Pennington and obviously Amanda Nunes, which she lost the title to. I just don't think that was the Misha Tate. That wasn't Misha Tate in there. That was someone else. She had, I remember for the Nunes fight, she had a horrible weight cut. She almost didn't make the fight, and it showed. And you know, Amanda Nunes became, you know, that was Amanda Nunes became Amanda Nunes that night. And I'm being very positive. I think we have the old Misha Tate that beat Holly Holm. You know, that Misha Tate. I think we have the best version of her. So that's why I'm picking her. But that's a lot of, you know, positive thinking.
Yeah,
I got a split decision.
Oh, go ahead, Andrea. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying I got a split decision for Misha Tate. So I mean, I'm there with you. I'm with y'all on that.
Split decision. You know what? That's probably what's going to happen. It's probably going to be a split decision. I see Ketlin winning the first two rounds. Mm-hmm. The third round is going to be like the swing round where we're all going to be debating it. And I think Tate takes over in 4 and 5. I think skill for skill, at least from what we've seen. I mean, the sample size for Misha 2.0 is a little different. I think skill for skill, Vieira is better than her in most places. However, I just don't know if she has the tank for 25 minutes. That's what worries me. How far can that tank get her? Could she win 3 rounds and cruise the last two? That's the question I have. Yeah. Can she go to 4 and 5? That's another big question I have. Misha can. We've seen Misha do incredible things in that fifth round. Just ask Holly Holm what happens in a fifth round with Misha Tate. Crazy things can happen. Yeah. So interesting fight. I lean Tate slightly just because it's 25 minutes.
Yeah, I agree with you.
One other fight I wanted to ask. That's what it's all about. One other fight I did want to ask you about, Andrea, obviously it's in your division. It's a fight you're going to probably be paying attention to very closely. Joanne Calderwood, now Joanne Wood, taking on Tyler Santos, big one at 125. What are your thoughts on this matchup? Of course, Joanne was supposed to fight Alexa Grasso. Alexa Grasso had a withdraw. Tyler Santos, who's been on a roll, she slides in there. What are your thoughts on this fight?
They're both really good strikers, so it's a tough one. But I think Tyler Santos, she grappled Roxanne, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So I mean, like, so her striking, wrestling, and grappling game are really good. So I feel like I don't know. It's kind of tough. I mean, I think that they both have their hands full with each other. But I kind of got Tyla, I think. But I really, you know, I don't know. I'd like to see JoJo get her shot, you know, at Valentina. I'd like to see how that goes. Yeah. But I don't know. I think Tyla might etch out that win.
Are you a JoJo Tyla's fan, even though she was your opponent? Once,
you know, I am a JoJo fan. I really am. When I first watched her fight in Invicta at 115, like I became a fan of hers. Like the way she mixed her striking up, you know, her knees, her elbows, and then I also loved her accent. You know,
remember Invicta? She used to fight in that little kilt too. It was the greatest. Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I love that. I liked her character, you know, I mean, and I'm still a fan. So what a loss to JoJo, you know, but maybe I'll get to redeem myself with that one too.
Hey, the Andrea Lee rematch tour. I like this. I'm kind of on the Santos train right now too. I think the loss to Mara Mara Barella was kind of, anomaly, unicornish. Yeah. I just feel like she was just kind of off that night. Maybe it was the jitters of your first UFC fight, but I mean, you see when she's done lately, she's been completely dominant in her next three fights. You know, beating Roxy, beating Jillian Robertson. She's on fire right now. I feel like the way she mixes up her striking, the way she can go to her wrestling, way she can control people once she gets on top, she's very strong up top. And once you get taken down and put on your back, it's very difficult to get back up. So I feel like Santos can do it, but man, Joanne Wood is tough. She's a dog, man. She's a dog. She's going to make this thing interesting. But I'm leaning Tyler Santos as well. Your thoughts, Casey?
Yeah, it'll be a fun fight.
Yeah. Like, I'm a fan of JoJo. I think everyone's a fan of JoJo. But just from the grappling standpoint, Santos is just, right now, she seems just like a beast. She seems to be making weight very easily. Well, not, I assume easily. And she's showing up at her best. And her grappling is just superior, unfortunately for JoJo. And I think in that small cage, she's going to be able to back JoJo up, put her back inside the cage, grab her legs, take her down, and win a dominant decision.
And again, like we were talking about earlier with Michael Chiesa taking the Sean Brady fight, kudos to Joanne Wood for taking this fight, because she's supposed to fight Alexa Grasso. Totally different stylistic matchup.
Very much different, yeah.
Grasso has to pull out, and then you bring in this monster in Tyler Santos, who's 18-1, who's just on a tear right now. And Joe's like, okay, I'll fight her. Yeah. A week after my wedding, or 2 weeks after my wedding, I'll fight her. Sure, let's go. It's just good on her. Kudos, and should be a fun one.
The PFL is live from Chicago, April 19th, with welterweights and featherweights taking center stage. In the main event, former Bellator welterweight champion Andrei Koreshkov takes on knockout artist Magomed Umalatov. And 2022 PFL world champion Brendan Loughnane looks to start his 2024 off with the bang versus submission specialist Pedro Carvalho. Don't miss the action. Friday, April 19th, live at 10 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN and ESPN+.
The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Let's go to the peeps, Casey. Let's see what the peeps have to say.
Yeah, I got some questions lined up for us. Sorry, one moment. sorry, that's way too small. Hold on.
We got a question for Andrea. Andrea, how do I take care of split ends after wearing a ponytail for too long?
That's funny. I don't know. I think go to the barber and get them trimmed off. That's kind of awesome.
I don't have to deal with that anymore. Thank God. All right. What else we got?
A lot of questions about your hair or comments.
Cool, as hair.
See, I know you're right a little now, down.
Is this current? I mean, like, is this like in real time?
Right now.
Yeah. These are comments. Real time. Yeah.
So they're commenting on my hair right now?
Yeah. Right now. I mean, a comment came a few minutes ago, but yeah. Yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate it. This is my workout hair. This is my after the fight hair. I mean, it's really quite a mess. It's a mess. See that? But I still got these little braids right here. I'm still trying to get these side braids out over here. It's just taking me some time. Here's the mess. I look like a wet poodle.
All right. Here we go. This is a pretty big question. I lost the question. Where'd it go? Talk about this.
What is one fight that is going under the radar this week outside of Misha and Caitlin that should be getting love, but it's not getting love? I mean, you know where I'm going with this, Casey, but I'll let you go first.
It's just sticking to the ladies. I'm super excited for Loma. I can't say her last name, but Loma versus Lupi. And I just think they're two exciting atom weights, basically fighting at strawweight. And I think they're exciting strikers. Does it have title relevance? No, but I think just as an exciting prelim fight, I'm just super excited for that fight. I think it's going to be a very good high action fight. And of course, Adrian Yanez.
Yes, that's the answer.
Yeah, that's going the answer, to Houston. Answer, yeah.
Yeah. Adrian Yanez, Davy Grant is the fight. That's why it's opening up the main mm-hmm. card. I love it. I will give some love to Pat Sabatini and Tucker Lutz, though. I think that's a really good fight. I think that's probably the closest fight on paper, in my opinion, on this entire card, because both guys are not necessarily like green, but they're both improving at the same rate. And I feel like Lutz is just getting better and better. And Sabatini is kind of a tricky trickster. He's always got tricks up his sleeve and can pull out some craziness. Like even strikes you haven't seen him do. His submission game is really good. And Tucker Lutz is just a dog down the stretch. So that should be a really fun fight. So I'll go with those two. Andrea, any of these fights tomorrow like stick out to you that you're just like, ooh, I can't wait to watch this one tomorrow?
Unfortunately, no. I don't know the entire lineup. You know, I just know the ones that we just recently talked mm-hmm. about, and those are, you know, Misha Tate, and that's Misha Tate's tomorrow. I mean, yes.
Yeah.
So there that's the only one that I really know about because we're talking about.
There you go.
It's the main event. It's
all good.
Main event. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I just
all good.
I forget what day it is. You know,
as we all do.
Honestly, no, there was so many cards. I was like, "When was your fight?" I was like, "Oh, last Saturday." Yeah, geez.
Yeah, you're like, it was 2 weeks ago. It was like 5 days ago.
And I was like, "Ugh." And I don't even get punched for a living, and I'm forgetting things. So you're doing great. Don't worry. just a couple comments.
So I like watching while in a Zoom meeting. All right.
I love it. Yeah. Just you know, working from home and yeah, just watching.
Yeah. Thanks. Thank you for joining us.
Don't get in trouble, Maxim. Don't get fired. Jessica. Hello, friends. And you look great. Face punching Woo. I don't know. Yeah. She must be talking about you. She ain't talking about me. Jessica.
Thank you.
Rocking the Crystal Crew. Face punching Woo.
This is.
And yeah. I'm good.
Yeah. Yeah. You look. Let me just. You got in a fight and you look great. Like I was training earlier today, and my face is all like just bruised up from my own gloves hitting me, and like you got in a straight up fist fight in a cage. So like
I got lucky. I didn't really. I don't know how I didn't bruise, but I didn't. I had like this little spot like right here on. But I mean it. I really don't know how I didn't get a black eye. I mean, because she cracked me. There was a couple of them that she did crack me, you know, and I felt it. And she bloodied my nose. So I was really surprised that I didn't get a black eye for this fight. And I was like, whatever skin cream I'm using must be working.
Even if Misha ekes out a decision, well, this is a good question. Does she get a title shot or does she need a finish? What do you think about that, Casey? Do you think any win is enough to get her a title shot?
I think so, honestly. I think so. I think Misha Tate's name, being a former champion, and just with Vieira's ranking, as long as Tate gets that W, I think that's all that matters. And this is also, I'm assuming, Amanda Nunes beats Julia Pena. If Julia Pena beats Amanda Nunes, then things change up. Who knows? I'm not sure. I do a rematch. Who knows? But assuming Nunes wins and Misha, just as long as she gets that W, I think if Misha wants it, it's hers for the taking. Honestly, I think her name value is enough, and I think with the women's bantamweight division and no one's really on a win streak. Everyone kind of just keeps losing to each other. There's no kind of surging anyone. There's no surging prospect at 135 for the ladies right now. Yeah, I think Misha, this is, that's why it's such a big fight for her, I think. Such a big fight.
Mm-hmm. I think any win gets her a title shot, especially if Amanda wins. And the biggest reason why is on top of what you just said, Casey, we don't know how much longer Amanda's going to do this for.
Yeah.
Like we might get 2-3 more fights out of her. Like what else does she need to prove in this sport? I mean, maybe she wants to keep going for 5 years. I don't really see that. So at this point, like if you're going to do this sort of quasi Amanda Nunes farewell tour, you want to give her the biggest fights possible. And with what is available, it's Misha Tate. It's Valentina Shevchenko. And if you could somehow get Kayla Harrison on board, I don't think it's going to happen. But if somehow you could get her in there, that's three. But Yeah, and I would say doubtful on Harrison. So you got to make Tate happen before she calls it a career. Get that rematch in there. It's the biggest fight you can make at 135 right now outside of Valentina Shevchenko. And I have a feeling they'll make that fight at some point too. So I would say any win gets Tate a title shot as long as Nunes beats Juliana Pena. What do you think, Andrea? Any win gets her a title fight?
Yeah, I feel like it. I think that's just the fight that everybody wants to see. You know, like you said, Amanda Nunes has already, she's running out of people to fight. And Misha Tate coming back, that's the fight to make, I think.
And I think there's a good, easy storyline to sell. Because, I mean, I don't know if you remember UFC 200, Misha looked, I mean, she came in, I think they have to be in there by 11 o'clock. She like walked in the door like at 10:59. She was so close to not even making the scale, and she just had the worst weight cut. And I'm not saying Misha Tate at 100%, you know, beats Amanda Nunes, but I really believe the fight that we saw at UFC 200 was like the worst Misha Tate and the best Amanda Nunes. So I still think it's a very competitive match. If Misha Tate wins, and I mean. The way Amanda Nunes does lose, if she gets put on her back, she does lose fights. She lost to Invicta. She lost to Alexis Davis. Catanzaro put her on her back and finished her. So Misha Tate she has the right skill set to beat Amanda Nunes. Will she? I don't know. But that to me, like it's an easy sell.
I think so.
I'm with you
for sure.
Yeah.
Oh,
take like one or two more.
I'm not sure. Is someone asked, is KGB doing calendars anymore? Does that make
I still have calendars available too on my website.
Oh, what is that? A calendar? What?
Yeah, I do calendars. Me and my friend Andy, we do calendars. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. You can order one at AndreaLeeMMA.com.
There you go.
There you go.
Let me get one more question. This might be for you, Mike.
Is Adrian Yanez a future title challenger? He has so many skills. He's still very young. If he beats Grant, I'd like to see him fight a ranked opponent next. I think it's a little early to say future title challenger, but if we're just going on pure potential, I mean, would it shock me if Adrian Yanez fought for a title? No. The guy has dynamite in his hands. He's a tremendous boxer. He's got some good wins on his record. The one thing that kind of like slows that is that he's just in the division that he's in. Bantamweight is so deep and so strong and so talented. And there's some exciting fights to look at in the future. Like, can you imagine Adrian Yanez in 2 years against Rob Font? I mean, good Lord. The boxing we'd see in a fight like that, like those two guys trading jabs, I mean, what a dream that would be to watch. Him versus Piotr Jan, like in a couple of years. Him versus Sterling, Dillashaw. I mean, just think of the matchups. Like three more years of development for Adrian Yanez with the skill set he has now. I mean, there's big time potential for this kid. So I'm not ready to pull the trigger on saying he's definitely a title challenger, but ceiling wise, would not surprise me if we see Adrian Yanez in a title fight.
Outside of your own weight class, What's your favorite weight class to watch in MMA, Miss Lee? Or do you have a favorite?
Oh man, you know that's a tough one. The bantamweight division is great with the men's, because I mean it's full, like you said, it's fully stacked, and I mean there are so many incredible MMA fighters in that division, and my boyfriend too, you know, Tony, he's in that division. He's a 135er. And then of course I'd say the Poirier's division.
Lightweight.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy that division a lot too.
We have a little debate on our staff like between the greatest divisions. I'm strictly like men's bantamweight is the best. If you have other people like, no, lightweight's the best. So I'm interested, but you pick both, so no.
I pick both.
The debate continues.
All right, last question.
All right.
Non-fight related, but MMA related.
Which of the mixed martial arts works your cardio the hardest in the training room, Andrea?
Man, I would have to say probably Muay Thai. You know, anything that involves kicking, really. Anything that involves kicking, because that really exerts a lot of energy. And if you're going to throw a lot of kicks in the fight, you need to work a lot of kicks in your training. Because if you don't, and you go into a fight and you try to throw kicks, it's like it immediately zaps your energy. But then, of course, there's wrestling. So, I mean, but if you're talking about like, wrestling is a form of martial arts. Mm-hmm. But as far as like striking, I would say, you know, kicks definitely are exhausting. But wrestling would probably be the most exhausting. But those are two different styles.
See, I would say Muay Thai works your cardio, but wrestling zaps your cardio the fastest.
Yes, no, you're right. I mean, like, because when I started thinking about that, I'm like, well, I mean, I guess because wrestling was the most grinding. Yeah, that definitely zaps you completely. So it's exhausting. Both are exhausting, but definitely wrestling would be the one that's the most zapping.
Like you think you have great cardio till you just wrestle for like 3 minutes, 3 minutes, 4 minutes straight. And you're like, I can't do anything.
Even just warming up, you know, the stutter steps, the down walks, the sprawls, the shots. And it's like, you do that for like 2 minutes. It's exhausting on the legs. Just having to stay in that spot.
You just feel so out of shape. Like, oh my God, I've never worked out ever. Yeah, apparently.
Yeah.
My 8-year-old is doing MMA now, so a lot of the kids in this class were preparing for like a grappling tournament. So they've been like doing nothing but wrestling for like 3 weeks straight. So just watching him get in there and wrestle and try to grind it out I'm just like, man, I'm so glad I'm sitting here watching. You know what I mean?
It's exhausting on your back too. It's like you're having to like stay in that little low stance. Ugh.
Yeah.
So long. Yep. How they do it.
And all you want to do is just go. You just want to go like this. You just want to stretch out your back afterwards. Like, oh.
I'm glad y'all know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know. And one last comment, just because it's very nice.
They love you.
We love you.
I love you too.
They love you, Andrea. And we appreciate you coming on here and joining us. The Jeep did not work out. We always deal with the Jeep, Andrea. Every time we try to do these, the Jeep is involved. And now we're here. People commented about your hair. They love you, KGB. And we appreciate you coming on and joining us. Any final words for the peeps before we say goodbye?
I just thank you for all the support and the continued support. I appreciate it. Thank you. Mwah. Love you.
All right. Thank you to Andrea Lee. For Casey Lydon, I am Mike Hack. Thank you for watching the UFC Vegas 43 preview show here on MMAfighting.com. Tomorrow, we'll be covering the event, obviously, pre-fight Q&A 30 minutes before the prelims. And then all your post-fight coverage as well. So until then, enjoy the rest of your day, everybody.
Thank you.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
The PFL is live from Chicago, April 19th, with welterweights and featherweights taking center stage. In the main event, former Bellator welterweight champion Andrei Kereshkov takes on knockout artist Magomed Umalatov. And 2022 PFL world champion Brendan Loughnane looks to start his 2024 off with the bang versus submission specialist Pedro Carvalho. Don't miss the action. Friday, April 19th, live at 10 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN and ESPN+.